We're still in, I guess, a mini-series here about humility, and specifically we're in relationships, and this will be, I think we're going to get into husband to the wife, so it's a good topic, and how pertinent it is and relative in our culture and our society, how the wives and the husbands are to be in their roles in the marriage. It's a good thing to know. It's not. It doesn't seem like it's taught as much as it should be, but that's why we're on it. The Lord led us here, so that's what we'll do. We'll teach it. So Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 is where the husband to the wife responsibility is found. So before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, that simply means confession of sin, and we can get right in our relationship and get in fellowship and be filled with the Spirit. And we can simply, by God's grace, name our sins. So let's go ahead and take care of that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are beyond thankful for your word. We thank you for the ability to be here. We know every day is numbered. We know our time is limited, and we just want to keep these things in mind as we move forward in this life and in your word. We ask that you show us, lead us, as you always do in the scripture. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So humility in relationships. We're pretty good ways into this so far. I feel like it's sort of a journey because we started with that word humility, and it kind of was a general to everybody. And then we're focusing on different relationships in our personal life. And of course, there's always something to take away, even if we aren't married, or even if you were married and aren't now. I feel like, you know, it's the Word of God, right? There's always something that can be taken away out of this that at least we can have a change of thought about, or maybe a change of thinking. And if nothing else, just your witness in this day-to-day world, you know, a lot of these things need to be known, and you're the ones that can actually make them known. So it doesn't have to be me doing all the talking. So we're talking about how to function within a marriage. And, of course, God only knows the best way to give us the information, and he knows how to give us that in a to where we're the most efficient, the most happy, and the most content. And when he gives us his word, that's what he does. And this is no different. As you know, if he commands it, we should automatically know that it's to our best interest to follow it. And I've always held to that philosophy when it comes to God's imperatives, at least later on in life when I had enough sense to know better. And we got through verses 22 through 24. That was the wife to the husband, the women. And what's interesting is that the wife who is able to subject herself to her husband's authority, that's actually a clear indicator of her soul. I feel that's there's a peephole, and you're looking directly in her soul if she can actually orient to her husband's authority in marriage. And we don't always think about that, but that is a very one of the things that we can use to witness is that's your walk. And you can remember that we had a verse, I think it was Sunday, that referred to the husband who was not positive to the word, and that the wife can actually be a witness to him, not by what she says necessarily, but her lifestyle, how she acts, how she carries herself. And it all comes out in your thinking, right? So that's why this is so powerful in how we do what we do, and where's our motivation coming from. So this is a soul response. And what it indicates, as I just said, is her spiritual growth. It indicates her spiritual maturity, and it also indicates her very tight, close relationship with the Lord. So if you are walking correctly, as I think we all strive to do in the spiritual life, we are also walking correctly in relationships around us. You know, just kind of one of those things that rubs off on people around you. If you're walking in your Christian life, if you are being consistent, you can have somewhat of a harmony in relationships around you with people as well. There's no difference, really. It's just that God gives us that ability through the Holy Spirit, I feel. There's when you're consistent, you start to have that change of thought. With it comes a love that can actually settle a lot of things in life. And one of those things is in the marriage with the husband and the wife. Love is a powerful thing. It's not just I love you. It's not just what we see. It's what we do, and it's what we think. And those things combined with love, that's the reason we're here, is because Christ loved us so much that he wanted to see us not only be here, but to be perpetuated in a relationship with him. And he wanted to just break us free out of that sin. That's where that bond is coming from. So, and remember, that goes back to that number one priority, I feel. Only when we can live by his word. And so a good verse that I came that reminds us of this is one you've already seen, but it's just a good general verse for life. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There it is. That's the underlying motivation of the husband and the wife. This is should be our verse that we go to, because I mentioned it before, but yes, it's for the husband and it's for the wife, but look at the underlying motivation of who you're serving here. That's almost a result of the service and the obedience that you have in that specific relationship. That's a personal thing. And it's a love relationship as well. And so what this is telling us, this verse right here, is that when you can properly submit to the husband's authority, then it's the Lord who you serve. That's what I'm saying in this verse. And by properly, I mean biblical is all that means. So it's not something you're doing because of the husband. It's not something you're doing because of something he may say or do. You're doing it because you know the source of the reason why you can even experience that blessing in life. So that's just an understanding, because you're motivated as well by what? That your love. It's a love. It's because you are coming to grow and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in that relationship. And what happens? You want to follow him. You want to listen. You want him to lead. He's the head, right? Head of the church. The husband's the head of the house. Same concept. And it's really a neat picture because it gives us insight into the analogy of what he does, how he does it, and what we can do and how we can mimic that within the household to the husband and the wife, to the church and Jesus Christ. So it's a really big concept. And you see, that's why verse 23 here points out that we do our work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Now, that may be a given, right? But if your reason for submitting has anything to do with the husband, as I just mentioned, then your motivation is wrongly directed and it can't last. That's another thing about it. If it's coming from something good or something bad or something that is stimulating you to do it because of what he's doing, it can't last. It's got to be something from a spiritual, from your soul, that's directed toward Jesus Christ in that relationship. That's the only consistency we really have. And actually, your husband is better benefited from that consistency by you directing it in the right direction. Because remember, he's going to let you down. He's going to do something wrong. He's not going to pick up something once or twice, maybe. He might not clean up that day. You get the point, right? It's a day-to-day test in a marriage. And if the test is not passed as unto the Lord, we're just not passing the test. We have to have it direct, that directional aspect right. And that goes back to the concept, a right thing done in a right way. And here it is. We've got to have that motivation coming from the Lord in our relationship with Him. So, and look at the result here. Verse 24. When your priorities and your motivation is correct in marriage, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Nothing that you do in the spiritual life goes unnoticed, goes or doesn't count. A lot of times we get lost in these relationships in life and we think, you know, I'm just doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. He's not noticing, she's not noticing, I keep doing the same over and over. And we get kind of caught up in that. This is not what this is saying. Every single thing that you do as unto the Lord is a spiritual win. And so those things are counting. Now that's encouraging to me because we've got a long time, a long relationship, long these standing relationships, whoever you're in a relationship with, even with friends and family. You know, you go through tests, you go through trials, those count if we're doing them in a right way. So see where your motivation comes from. It's not from flowers. It's not because the husband is maybe charming that day or gives you some earthly gift. But we're talking about eternal flowers. These are divine flowers. These are flowers that last into heaven. And I think not only there, but here as well, we can enjoy these blessings. That's what we're talking about, blessings. Of how you are, and part of that is perseverance. I'll give you that. You have to persevere. You will not be on the same level spiritually, and that's just part of it. That's how God has designed us to be, actually, in the marriage. So, but you still have to persevere. Remember, this is the human nature, and we do have a sin nature that's attached to all this as well. So, and I mentioned this on Sunday. If we are waiting on our spouse, husband or wife, to do something or act differently or maybe anything you can think of before we do something, that's a bad place to be. I want to tell you because you can wait for a long time. You can be in that mindset where, you know what, I won't do A until he does B before you get to C. Well, you might be waiting all your marriage or all whatever relationship you're in. Well, guess who's to the disadvantage that is? That's to you personally. See, that's a personal thing that we have. This is an advance. And if we're going to allow someone else to impede your growth, there's an issue. We've got to recognize it. We've got to see that there's a problem. And then say, you know what? My growth pattern and how I treat them is not based on them. It's based on the Lord. That's why we have to have that upward motion because we can get in a stagnant, we can get in, you know, a lock there because our pride or arrogance wants to come to a standstill when they say, well, nothing's happening here. It shouldn't even see. We can't even think like that. We've been deceived. That's what Satan wants us to do because we've kind of taken a sidestep. Say, well, they do this, so why should I do that? It's easy to do. We're human. We kind of have that in us, right? Go watch kids for 5 minutes, tit for tat type of deal. And adults are no different. It's just a lot. It's in an adult way, right? So. But when you walk by the Spirit, and we all have the capability to do that, we can stay on top of these kind of things. And then you no longer get in these strongholds, you know, these the stagnant periods in your life, in these relationships, because you're waiting. Don't wait. Don't wait on them because they'll keep you waiting. They will keep you waiting. And then you look back and you'll say, man, I waited for 10 years on so-and-so to do something. And it didn't happen. And then what happened? You stunted your growth. You could have been long moved past that. So keep that in mind. Before you submit to the husband or before the husband takes the role in the love, loving his wife, Don't hold your own spiritual advance up because you're not hurting your partner. You're hurting yourself. And I think I mentioned that, but anyways, because you see that a lot, right? We've all experienced that. We see that a lot in today's world. Everybody's waiting on someone else to do something before they act. And so everybody's kind of at a standstill, and where that leads is to wanting to do something different, wanting to try something new, wanting to, you name it. It will lead you to a place where you don't want to be if you're not moving forward. That's the advance in the Christian life. Part of it is making right decisions. And if we're not making right decisions, what are we going to do? Well, we can only make right or wrong, and we're going to make wrong. So don't stay stagnant. So, and that just brings up the point, you should never allow someone's spiritual immaturity to affect your momentum towards spiritual maturity. That's the only thing I wanted to mention about that. So now we're on to the gentleman. Verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's a big verse. So I see I underline love here. This word is agapao. You've seen it before. It's a verb. So it's not just a noun, person, place, or thing. There's something you got to do. It's an action word, love. It's a thought process. There's things that are coming behind this, and not just draw a heart on the refrigerator and call it good. I fulfilled this verse. No, this is a verb. This is not a picture or drawing or even a saying. You know, we get caught up in that, I love you type of deal. But this is, remember, as you already know, I've taught it many times, that this is a divine love, right? This is, of course, it means to love, but it isn't any kind of love. This is God's love, and it's the same exact love that Christ has always had for you. Same love. It's the same, exactly the same. That's what we gain. That's what we gain from God. It's amazing how he can give us his attributes. I know we're not God, we're not sovereign, we don't, you know, we're not immutable, but he is. And one of the things that he gives us is his love. One of the perks is that we can utilize his love because we're an extension of him. We're the body. We're the body of Christ. So you're an extension of God because he's inside of you, right? The Trinity. And part of that is the Holy Spirit indwelling you. So this is a powerful thing. So love, notice it's present, active, imperative. So there's the command. There's no way around it. There's your command. All you girls can say, I told you so. No, God told me so, but that's okay. It is a command. We can't get around that. This is to have a divine love to the wife, directed to the wife. So now this is the same love that we come to know over time by you understanding God's love for you. That's how we understand. We grow, we learn, and we see, and we develop. It's no different with a child coming to love you or maybe coming to hate you. They sense something, and if it's love, they come to love you back. Right? From the care, the nurturing, the you have their best benefit in mind. There's no different with us and God. He has our best benefit in mind, and what happens is we see that, and we learn that, and we are able to utilize that and express that. It's directional, and it only comes through the fruit of the Spirit. This is a filling of the Holy Spirit issue here, because my love is not this love. I'm referring to God's love that he has on loan and he's allowing me to use because, well, I'm in my human body, right? It's directional. So And don't take that as it's not a part of you and it's not part of your thinking. It's yours. That this is the spiritual life. It's what God has given us. But there's also that grace aspect of this, that it didn't originate with us and we can't do anything to produce it. There's no environment I can give you. There's nothing I can say to you. There's no sweet sounds I can sing to you. It wouldn't be that pretty anyways if I sang to you. But what I'm trying to say is this is something that's freely given to us by the grace of God. And so that's the reciprocating part that we have happening. Now we're speaking about the man here, remember? And I gave you two verses on Sunday that shows God's love for us. 1 John 4:19, I said, we love because he first loved us. So, and this is just bringing up the fact that God is the initiator. God's the initiator. Well, we've got the example here. God is he initiated the love. So there's my example to see how he loved us, why he did it. Well, he did it because of who he is. That's why he did it. He did it because of his love for us. That's where it originates. His grace, because he loves you. So now he's the initiator, just like the man is the initiator of the love to the wife in the marriage. Now, believe it or not, every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior has responded to that love, at least to that point. We've all responded at least to that point because we recognize that someone died for us, someone saved us, and we responded in accepting that salvation work on the cross. We maybe some people, that's all they respond, but you get the point. That's not the ideal. That's not the goal. God wants us to continue to respond and to grow in that relationship because that's where we receive the most blessing and where we're the happiest in the relationship. So now keep, as we talk, if I'm talking about Jesus Christ, if I'm talking about anything that has to do with God, we need to keep the marriage in mind. Because the analogy is so close, it's meant to be that close because it's very similar in that that's how the scripture is relaying it to us. It's giving us a picture of Christ in the church and the man and the woman in the marriage. So, but I think you can better understand why I said that the husband is responsible for what happens in the marriage. And what that means is that we're responsible for setting the stage, for creating the environment with nothing in your way to make the right decisions to join the process. If we can do everything that we have to do in a love environment so you can be willing to respond with nothing holding you up, that's what we're referring to. That's why I say it's the man's responsibility. Now, notice what happened to Adam. See, they were both in a wrong place. Sure, they loved each other, but they had veered out from, Eve had veered out from under that authority, out from under that love per se, God's and Adam's. And then what happens after she already fell to Satan? How do we know that Adam failed? Because he made the wrong decision when she got there. If he would have done his job, well, guess what? He said, no, Eve, what are you thinking? We weren't supposed to eat of that tree. They were both off. He didn't create the environment, or if he did, he failed at some point because he was not where he should have been when she came to him with that fruit. So we've got it. The man is the one responsible for creating this love environment. We've got to give the wife every single opportunity to respond to her calling in the Lord. That's what we're doing. You're giving the woman her opportunity to respond with nothing holding her back. Her spiritual growth should be just a flow upward. Every opportunity. And ultimately, what's the result of that? She responds to her role in the marriage. And that's not from something the husband can do. That's from her relationship with the Lord. But we've got to create the environment for it. There's got to be that love involved because God chased us with that love. So we chase the wife with the same love. And it doesn't have to be physical. It has to be an unconditional. It has to be an unconditional. There may be a lot of waiting. There may be good times. There may be bad times. There may be things you like. There may be things you don't like. But what did God peel off when we did something wrong? When we rejected in the garden, he could have said, well, what kind of relationship is this? I loved you. I created you. I put you in a perfect environment, and this is what you do to me. He could have said, this is it. You know, I don't deserve this because I love you so much that I put you in perfect perfection, and then you reject me. We have to be the ones to absorb that because there will be objection, rejection and objection, and there will be different things in the marriage when it comes to not relying on myself but relying on God to get through it. And you've got to have the spiritual momentum and the maturity to be able to do that. And I'm directing that to the husbands. Now, many times the wife sometimes can be the more advanced individual in the marriage. And there's application here to you as well. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. So we've got to give that opportunity to her. Just like the Father initiated everything we know as good, divine good, absolute good. Everything that we know as good, that came from God. He initiated that on His own. It wasn't because of something I did or didn't do. It was because of who He is. And I, as a man, have to rely on that. Because that's a part of who we are, and we can think that way. To provide that back in reciprocation to whoever you are in a relationship with. It doesn't really matter how you're treated. You can still provide a thought process that is here. That is as unto the Lord. Remember, that's why I wanted to show you that verse at the very beginning. Remember who we are serving in all this. We can easily get lost in the sauce. We can forget. We can, you know, when you're in it, when you're going through maybe tribulations, trials, hard times, and there's going to be, and there will continue to be, remember who you serve always. Never forget that. We can't forget that because that is your true underlying motivation to keep going because He keeps going, doesn't He? He doesn't stop. See, that's always an upward thing that lifts you back up because when we're down, God is up. When we're need something, He always has it. There's always a positive to our negative when it comes to God. Hello, husband. There's got to be an encouragement. There's got to be a motivation there. There has to be something that leads. We're leading in the spiritual realm here. We've got to lead properly to redirect back to the Lord, not to the husband. It's almost like a little mini microcosm of Christ in the church. It's the same concept, right? He provides, He leads, He establishes that relationship. And all of a sudden, what are we in this relationship? We're blessed. We're happy because we are living in a designed way as He said. And we're just serving Him. And that's why it's so fun because we can serve God and still be able to live in these bodies, in these relationships, and still have a good time. You know, it's not all doom and gloom, right? We do have a lot of fun things in this life. So yes, we are responsible in that endeavor. So, and also responding to responsible to creating her response to growing to maturity and glorifying and serving Him. That comes with the territory. So, and doesn't God offer us the environment that is just ripe to respond to His love? We've been given every single thing that we need. Everything. If we are positive, God opens the gate. He does. He opens it on me. He opens it on you. He opens it on people we know that are positive. He will continue to provide you, whether it be spiritual food, whether it be a ministry, whether it be opportunities in your life. He wants to use us, remember? And part of that using you includes, goes along with your spiritual growth. So he's going to open the, always have the floodgates open on us when it comes to being positive. So that's what I mean by creating that environment for us to just move forward and do things freely as we like, because we have everything we need. We feel protected because we are loved. We've got that leader leading us in a way that God has designed us to go. And that's a good thing. And it doesn't mean you have to be married, obviously, right? Because we all have the ultimate leader that fills every gap, fills every void that we can ever imagine or even have. So don't go to that side, but what I'm trying to get you to focus on is this environment that we have that God provides, but we just have to tap into that. We have to tap into that. Whether single or married, we've got to tap into that love relationship. And it flows through you. It'll flow through you in relationships that you have with other people. Specifically here, the marriage. And see, look what it says. It's got a comparison here. You see that just as? That word is a little word. It's the Greek word is kathos. And it's a compound word. It consists of kata and has. Well, kata is according to, right? Or compared to, in proportion to. And has is to the degree that. So that's how we can get just as. There's your comparison. In direct proportion to, or you could say corresponding to fully, exactly. How are we going to do that? Just as Christ also loved the church. And then it gives us additional information of how he did that. He gave himself up. He gave himself up. That was a decision that he had to make. That wasn't an order. It was a voluntary thing. That's why Sunday I wanted to emphasize the volunteer. You know, that has to be willing on the husband's part and the wife. It has to be, because that's how Christ chose to save us, was willingly. Gave himself up. He gave himself up. This word is, you see it, paradidomi. This is a verb, aorist, active, indicative. Another compound word. Para means close or beside. And then didomi means to give or to hand over. This means that you are handing over something that is close to you. Paradidomi. Well, guess what? You're not going to hand anything any more close to you than yourself. That's why it's saying he gave himself up. The word itself is saying that it's that personal, where it's you. When you give something up, you might be giving something to somebody, say, here, you can have it. No big deal, no sweat, no loss to me. This is your life. This is what we're giving up. And it's not a bad thing. I don't mean to say it like that at all. This is a blessing. It just has to come to an understanding in our mind individually as male and female on how we're split. Where do we fit in on this, right? But the giving up of ourselves is the only way we can get up to this point in this speed that God wants us to get. So this is the sacrifice that comes from your love for Christ right here is what this is talking. When we relate this back to our life, this has application in various aspects of your life. Where are you doing ministry? Where are you serving? Where are you functioning? Well, specifically here, we're talking about marriage. And if we're going to sacrifice, if we're going to serve, if we're going to, as we'll see, do something that God, that pleases God, right here, we've got to understand this. We've got to give our life in a fashion that is directed toward first to the Lord and second to the wife. Without a doubt, there's your priority. So the aorist tense here is viewing the giving up as a whole. This is viewing your, not just saying I do, it's viewing this, let's say you're taking a look at your life or your marriage from a distance and you're viewing the whole thing as a whole. It's viewing that as the giving up. It's saying it's not just a one-time deal, it's a process. And we want to look at that as the entire thing, relationship, as a giving up. Of course, it happens at a point. The aorist tense is punctiliar, right? We all come up to that point before you can get into the sacrificial system of your love towards the wife and towards God. Of course, those are reverse order, right? But it does. We have to look at this as a whole here. And that's what the aorist tense is saying. So there's that willingness also. Willing to withhold certain functions. When we look at Christ, he withheld his deity, certain functions of his deity. He came down. He was human. That's not ideal situations for God of the universe. You know, when you're limited, when you're bound to the earth by gravity, that has got to be frustrating for God. You know, especially Jesus Christ, he knows that, you know, he could just turn things into whatever he wanted, redirect Satan, smush people, throw them out of rooms, destroy things if he want. But guess what he did? He didn't do that. He withheld certain things if they would be outside of the Father's plan for what he was specifically doing. Wow. Isn't there a role to play in the marriage? There's a specific thing to do, and we can't go outside of that realm, of the bounds there. We can't do it. Because we've got to think about there's a mission, and we signed up for the mission when we said I do. Of course, none of us have, you know, that doesn't dawn on us then. But it will, and it should eventually. If we're right with our relationship, as every believer should eventually be, every believer, this should be our duty. This should be our goal. This should be our blessing and desire to want to do this. Because we are in a position that we're growing spiritually. We're growing spiritually. And part of growing spiritually means that it's fun and exciting to advance spiritually. What does God have for me next? Well, maybe this is the aspect of your life that's waiting for you to come up through the ranks and advance right here in the love relationships in your life. It could be what's holding, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of waiting. We put it on the back burner sometimes, you know. Well, here you go. This is where we're at in the study. What a great time to apply these things. So view it as a whole. It's, I thought about, you know, it's just like anything else in life. When you go into an interview, you get the job. Well, guess what you do from 8 to 5? You on the job. You're under whatever company guidelines, whatever policy, whatever rules. And for the Christian, it's no different, but it's all the time. It's all the time because this is a thought process for us. It's kind of like we enlisted, right? You can't just get out and say, okay, guys, I'm done. Wait, no, your enlistment says until you die. According to the Word of God, we just continue to serve, not in a negative way, right? It just gets, it continues to get better. It should be getting better. And if it's not, something is wrong on our end. Because God provides us with everything we need to grow, consistently grow, and to even get better in the adverse circumstances. That's what he gives us. Now, that's just short of amazing, right? So, and look who was glorified by the sacrifice. God the Father. And look who was benefited from this sacrifice. We were. When we talk about Jesus Christ, there's always people that benefit. And there's someone that is glorified. And it's God in the case of the marriage. It's God. We can glorify God. Isn't that our mission on earth? One of the missions of the Christian is to glorify God. That means you're doing things according to His way in the right motivation, which is glorifying to Him through the Holy Spirit. That's what glorifying God is. And if we can do that in the marriage, I mean, think about how much time you spend in relationships. Let's just say people in general, whatever person you think of you spend the most time with. If you can glorify God in that relationship, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time spent. Maybe it's with kids. You're with kids all day. Did you know you can glorify God with kids? Because this is a thought process. This is making right decisions within the realm of whoever you're around. So we want to glorify God wherever we are. But specifically tonight, we're talking about the marriage. But it has so much application, right? It applies to many things. So the man has the same responsibility. You know, we signed up. We were enlisted when we became a believer. Now we're married. Some of us, you're all in relationships. So we have to have a responsibility to cut ties with things like pride, to cut ties with things like expecting something in return before we do something. We've got to cut ties with the things that take her or you outside of the role as a loving leader to the wife. And the wife has to cut ties with taking her outside of the servant, the humble servant, as unto the Lord. I'm going to focus there first. And then also outside of the husband's authority, ultimately, if you're there yet, right? We all want to get there. We may not be there. Nothing wrong with that. It's called human nature, life. So we've entered into the relationship and agreement, which is a huge responsibility, by the way. But also that has huge benefits to all parties involved if we follow the example. That's why in this verse, it gives us Jesus Christ Himself. We have the example, not a example, not just some top talent in the company that's going to show you all the ins of how to do everything. We have the example right here, the one that knows everything there is to know. And also provides the information whenever we need it. Nothing better than that. And I thought was interesting about this is, and of course this is not a coincidence, right? It's the Word of God. But in chapter 5 starts off with two commands that kind of primes us that we were leading into this. Look at what they are. These commands kind of followed us through for both the husband and the wife to be able to live in their God-designed roles in marriage. Look what, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God. That's how it started. We can't forget where we came from. As beloved children, see, that's that loving relationship. There's love there. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. An offering. Here's what we're doing in the marriage, and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. There is no difference with these verses here and a marriage. No difference. We want to be imitators of God, as this verse is saying, of Christ, and walk in love, just as Christ did for us. So we've got the example. We have the words. We can learn how to do this because God's words, He shows us how. He shows us how to do it. But the neat thing about this is that it's pleasing. The fragrant aroma means that is pleasing to God. That's what He wants to see. He wants to see you functioning in that way because it glorifies Him, and that's what's pleasing to God. Not glorifying to me because I'm holding out for something and I want to get the best of her. Or you want to get the best of Him, that's not glorifying to God. He wants to be glorifying, and sometimes glorifying God, guess what it takes? Humility. That's kind of what all this is bubbled around, isn't it? This whole thing? Humility. Doesn't mean it goes with your flesh or with your sin nature, but it's what God gives you to be able to go against yourself, to be able to sacrifice self, to be able to sacrifice that sin nature. He gives us the humility because He knows what's best, and it works. It works. There's no doubt. We know it works, right? So we're in the area. A marriage is the area. Actually, this is for everybody. But in our context of being imitators of God, of walking in love and sacrificing our lives just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. Now, is when you look at that verse, you got to say, is that a bad thing? Well, shoot, no, it's not. What Christ did for us, without a doubt, is the best thing that could have ever happened to us. No difference in a marriage. When a man and a woman is functioning within that role, whether it be the man or the woman, or together, it doesn't matter. When a person is functioning in their God-given role, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. Because God wants us to be in that position, so He tries to move us in that direction because He loves us. We're human, so it takes us a while to get on board, right, with these things. But once we do, we're like, oh my goodness, why wasn't I doing this before? It's a growth process. I get that. And I'm human too, and it takes me sometimes forever to get to a certain point as well. But it's here. And God is not going to give up on you. Ever. He's going to keep wanting to see you. He's going to drag you. If He has to, He's going to pull you, because you're going to want to take breaks. You're going to want to stop, because it does get challenging. I will give you that. It gets challenging, this life. But God will not stop. He's not going to stop. And that's why we can't check out, punch the time clock and check out, because this isn't one of those jobs and service where we should want to even do that. It really isn't, because it's all rooted in love. Remember, it's based in love. And if we reciprocate, if someone loves you that much, your motivation should be to love them back. And that's why it's so motivating to want to serve, because it's not coming from something that we have to do. It's coming from something that we are desiring to do because of Him. Because of what He's done in our life and what He's not going to stop to do. For eternity, He's not going to stop. He says, you know what, this life isn't enough. I got to have you forever. And He's going to have us forever. And we're going to be with Him forever. Not only that, but He's making a specific place for each one of us. You believe that? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's probably what we do in our free time. We think about what that place is going to be like. Right? Well, you know there's going to be chickens at my place, right? Just to let you know, when you see the chickens, it's probably you getting closer to my place. I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. But get the point. God is consistently and steadily loving us to no end. And it's just beyond me how He can do such a thing. But He can, and we can too. Because He's given us the ability to do that. So, and by doing this, what we've been referring to, by doing this in the marriage, it is our offering and our sacrifice to God that is pleasing and acceptable. So notice how everything keeps getting redirected back to that. And what was the result of Christ's sacrifice to the church? Well, let's see. Back to our verse. Why did He do that? So that He might sanctify her. This is the church. So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. That's why He did it. That's why He did it. Now, when you think about Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, there's a lot of things we can think about. And a lot of times we think about, oh, this is for salvation. It is. It saved us, right? But sometimes we just think about, most people think about eternity, heaven. I was saved, now I'm going to heaven. But look at the purpose here. That is one of the reasons, but look what he wanted us to do. To be sanctified. To grow, to become sanctified in the Word, to do what we're doing, to grow spiritually and to mold in this relationship, to come to be in a position to where we are experientially sanctified. This is the Christian walk we're talking about now, right? This is the holiness aspect here. So, this is a good subject, a good topic, and I think this is maybe a good place to stop. But, and we'll continue with it. Verse 26, next time we come back. Because now we're getting into things like sanctify. And that word means to make holy. That's what your entire spiritual life is about. So this is good stuff. So that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you do. We'd like to pray for Danny's family and pray that you are with them. We know that you're going to provide everything that they need. We know your timing is always correct, even though we may not understand it. We know you have a purpose, you have a plan for them, for each one of his children. We thank you for them. Thank you for Danny's life. And we know that he's face to face with you. And we're most of all thankful for Jesus Christ, because without your son going to the cross to die, he would not have an opportunity to be where he is today, which is in heaven with you. And he made that one decision by just accepting it. You gave us the option to accept your son, Jesus Christ, by faith. By faith we are saved. And that's what you offered us. By faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone. Your scripture tells us, for you so loved the world that you gave your only uniquely born son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.